Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Tonight on The Bachelor, Peter finally gets his bandage off, but will he be scarred for life? Then, Natasha finally gets a one-on-one, only to be sent home. How did she even make it this far in the first place? Plus, Victoria F. has another meltdown. Can someone get this girl a Xanax, please? All that and more. It's our most dramatic episode ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay, and Derek is not here this week, but I have an awesome co-host. Jared Fried is in the house.
Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
He's been on the podcast a few times. He hosts the J-Train podcast, which a lot of you have heard. I've gotten a lot of DMs. I always get DMs about your J-Train podcast.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that.
He also hosts our You Up podcast here at Betches, which is super fun. All dating, sex, relationships.
Just
you have the advice.
Working out the modern dating issue, the cross of technology and dating.
Yes.
And how to figure it all out, and really just an honest conversation that's really uncomfortable, had comfortably. And I love doing that show.
Hey, I love that.
Yeah, I think it's the best way to describe it. I think all the dating stuff right now. I mean, like this, you know, that's why I love The Bachelor, is it delves into, you know, The Bachelor gives us a way, like, you know, people talk about hate watching. I watch it with, like, I think everyone watches The Bachelor with, like, well, what would I have done in that situation?
Yeah.
And, you know, The Bachelor on the bigger scale, like, when you look at it from a wide angle, you're like, yeah, it's a stupid show. 33 women for one man. Like,
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. But the smaller moments are what we connect to. Like, mm-hmm. this episode was great. I mean, I think there's better. I think last Wednesday's episode was like maybe one of the best of all time.
Oh, for sure. Hands down.
I mean, but they, you know, these smaller moments, how would I have done it? How is he? Is this guy someone I would date? Is this woman someone I would date? It's all connected. So that's why I love The Bachelor so much. It's like, and I like talking dating stuff. So it's like it all fits together. It all fits.
And you can follow him on Instagram at Jared Fried and on Twitter. That's Jared Fried as well. If you guys haven't seen his Instagram stories or haven't followed him yet, he does a live scream.
I call
every
it the
Monday.
Live scream. Yeah, I yell at the TV
I think
while
you need
The Bachelor's
to,
going on.
It is so good. So keep an eye on his story for that. I honestly think for the Women Tell All, you have to like rebrand it for one episode and be like, Jared Fried yells all.
Yells all.
I think
you're right.
Just for like a mini rebrand.
I think
for
you're
that,
right.
Jared Fried yells all.
Yells all. Yeah. I love. I mean, we're getting to the part. Well, all the episodes, thank you for, you know, putting that out there. All the episodes are in my highlights, so you can watch the whole season with me
without having to watch the show.
You can actually go back to The Bachelorette. You can go back to Hannah's season through this season, watch every episode of my highlights. And yeah, I sit there, and it's like the whole reason for doing it is I've been doing that with like girls I've dated my whole life, watching their shows and kind of like chirping.
The best part, and that's one of the reasons why people follow along on Twitter, the live tweeting. This is, I think, what brings the community.
Yeah, Bachelor Nation. I love the
Nation together. Okay, before we get into all of our predictions and initial thoughts, I want to read our Review for the Right Reasons winner of this week. This winner is winning a free mug, our Bachelor mug. I know, every week. So if you rate us 5 stars and the most creative or the funniest review wins a mug and gets on the podcast.
I love a mug.
We love a mug. Okay, so this one is titled Favorite Bachelor Podcast, and it's Soccer Star 1151. But your Instagram name's actually different. It's Smart Alec 227. So Smart Alec 227.
This person loves numbers.
I know. Here is your review. Have you ever loved one, or have you or a loved one ever been exposed to 5 hours of The Bachelor in 1 week? You may be entitled to compensation. Symptoms include using the the word like 5+ times in one sentence, mispronouncing common words like fiasco and lingerie, hitting your head on a golf cart and then smashing it into a champagne glass immediately after, getting wine drunk and sobbing to a pool over a commercial airline pilot. If you or a loved one is experiencing any of these symptoms, treatments include listening to The Bachelor podcast and eating Skinny Pop popcorn.
I love that. I love that it has crazy. That had a theme. It went with it. It took it to the end.
Right.
Loved it. We're familiar with that type of, you know,
advertisement.
Yeah, this is all good. I'm a fan of that one.
We had someone do a review, and it was, you know, the airline like announcements at the beginning. Like,
yes.
We'd had somebody do an entire one to our podcast.
That's
and
amazing.
It was
I love that.
So good. All right, so let's dive right in. So what are your initial thoughts? Like, who do you like? Who do you not like? Do you have any predictions?
I will say I listen to the DMs I get.
And okay.
So I know that there's
so you're influenced by
I just know I'm listening to the weather. You know,
right.
I know I'm gauging the temperature. There's a few people that are out there being like, it's the worst season. It's the worst season. I'm like, no, this is actually like one of the craziest ones, mm-hmm. I think. Like, it's not, I think, you know, if you think of The Bachelor like a pimp, like, you have to be a strong pimp.
Right.
You can't, you know, like you have to be strict but fair.
Strict but fair. You have to have a backbone.
You have to have a backbone. And the minute Peter started bringing back people, the minute he brought back, asked Hannah to come back, which they all definitely heard about. They all found out about that. The minute that happened, you saw the women kind of turn against him and not really respect him. And listen, this is all bad ways to speak about men and women. I agree. You know, like, this is all
right,
like problematic
definitely.
Language. But the show is problematic. So you have to have this little petri dish.
Yes.
Has to operate in a way to make the show work the way it's always worked,
mm-hmm.
with strong leader, like even with the Bachelorette has to be strong and ready to send people home and know what they want and know what they're looking for. That's why Hannah's season got off the rails, because she was so busy of looking good versus being good,
yeah.
and keeping around the people that checked a box versus the things that make her feel good as like in a partner. She got played. That's the reason that happened. So now we have Peter, who was just as flimsy as Hannah was.
Yeah.
The minute he brought her back, the women were like, they're like mad at him.
That was a red flag from the beginning. I mean, that literally led us through the entire show, gave us a precursor to what it was going to be.
Exactly. So that's the theme of the whole season, is that, you know, the inmates have taken over the asylum.
The girls have gone wild.
The girls have gone wild. So now you have a weak bachelor with emotionally, like, you know, wavering women in the house. And it's like, this season is kind of flipped upside down. And I've enjoyed every second of it, but it's, you know, it's gravity. What goes up must come down. So, like, all of this is interrelated. All of, and I've enjoyed the season, but it's definitely different. Like, don't you agree? Do you think?
Yeah. Like, no, this is different than the other seasons. I feel like none of these girls are likable. I am struggling.
Especially the final four.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for anyone, because usually, even in seasons that I don't love, like I didn't love Ari's season,
mm-hmm.
but I had, you know, certain girls that I really liked and certain girls that I was rooting for. And there was, you know, somebody made a tweet the other, I think it was last week, about, remember when all the girls used to get along? And that, we don't see that anymore.
Well, that, you know, it's like, it's so
weird. After the fact.
But it's after the fact. I also like that they don't get along.
It makes for good TV.
It makes for great TV. It's also like makes for like the reality competition to be real. Like,
mm-hmm.
I liked that Kelly was like this, like, Kelly all of a sudden turned into this, like, like, you know, annoying mom on the PTA.
Yes, just I'm like, better than this. I'm an attorney. Everybody's a child.
And it's like, you know, we all want them to not know. We want to be able to say it without them saying it.
Yeah.
And it's like the minute Kelly was like, I'm an attorney, it's like, yeah, we know. Like, you know, it's like
we know
that at home we could, you know, that's something we would say. But it's interesting to see what's going on here. This is like, it is different. I'm not saying it's the most dramatic season ever. It's definitely just like a little wild. Like, the other thing that's happened this season is, you know, there used to be some sort of wall between the season and the at-home stuff.
Yeah.
The fit tee jokes have been made, and I know they're looking for followers and
full
the,
advertisements now.
Yeah, like, but now, yeah, now, like, when Alea came back, she's like, "So have you guys heard what's happening?" And she's like, and then when one of them was like, "We don't have our phones," I was like, "Man, that's the first time I've ever heard them talk about that."
Talk
on the
about
show.
That. I don't even think they're allowed to talk about the show while they're on the show, like, you know, acknowledging yeah. the fact. I know that they do that for Vanderpump Rules, where if they talk about being recorded or the fact that they're on a show, that part ends up getting cut out.
Yeah, and that kind of seeped in this season. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like made its way into the show where you're like, oh, this is different. You know, like the wall, it's kind of like, it's, it felt like Truman Show.
The Truman Show,
when he
yeah.
knocked on the dome. And you're like, oh.
Well, yeah, now they have like the Revolve advertisement, which... Power Move, and then yeah. Cosmo doing a whole thing with them.
And then you find out that the Cosmo thing gets pulled because she's in some sort of White Lives Matter that was a fish campaign. Yeah. It's like all bizarre. This season, I've make fun of it. We're making fun of it. We're having a fun time with it. But you definitely take a minute to like step back and you're like, yeah, I don't like any of the women. I don't even know who do you think is the Bachelorette? Like, who do you think?
Oh, I don't even think they could pick someone as Bachelorette from this season. I feel like it needs to be from another season. Like, who is?
Like, Kelly is someone I think of because of the whole like attorney thing where
but
she was almost too chill. Like, you needed her to care a little bit.
She was too chill, and she made it seem like she was better than all of this. And it's like, well, if you're better than it, then why are you here? What's happening?
Well, yeah, your dad gave you a few months off of work at the law firm. And he was like, don't worry, I'll keep your desk warm, the desk that sits 6 inches from me.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like, it doesn't... Yeah, so I don't know who would be.
I don't know who would be the Bachelorette. I'm not rooting for anyone. I don't believe any engagement that happens at the end of this is going to be.
Well, my whole thing with like the way The Bachelor ends is like, you know, it's funny, like dating right now, like 2020 dating in America. Mm-hmm. Like, the only thing I need out of the show is for them to be together as a couple.
Yeah.
You know, like that's basically marriage to me.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
like a guy saying, I won't try and, you know, I'm not too busy for a relationship. That's exactly. like marriage, you know? Like,
it really is, though. That's the commitment that you need at this point.
Yeah. But like the way Colton moved on into their relationship, like, all right, that's enough for me. That makes sense to me. Yeah.
Well, what makes me question all of that is that we have, this would be the third season in a row that nobody has gotten married or engaged. Like, we had Colton, he didn't end up proposing to Cassie. Then Hannah ended up getting engaged, but I mean, in
broke
that
off.
Same season, broke it off. And then whatever happens to Peter, like, what's happening to the show?
I mean, it's again, this is a mirror to society.
Mm-hmm.
This is commitment in 2020. Like, he's like, yeah, we're cool. We're going to like hang. Like, just them being in a exclusive relationship is like, yeah, it kind of feels like that. I don't know who he ends up with. I mean, like looking towards the end of this season, like the four, what do you think of the four that he's going to see? Like, I meeting Kelly's parents, I would have been like, this will all be kind of normal. I feel like we're going into La La Land. Like,
oh yeah, Victoria F.
Victoria F. Okay, do we want to go through the four? Victoria F.
Really
doesn't
quick.
Make eye contact.
She
and it's this weird. I know she's like, she's not confident. Starts crying about not being confident. Then gets over the hump and then talks about how she overcame things. And it's like, what is it?
Yeah.
What is it, Victoria? What are you always the underdog in every single scenario? There's not one situation where you're okay with what's going on.
I know, and she hasn't handled any of these situations well at all. I mean, last night she even said after her conversation with Peter and him being like, you know what, I want to know what you're feeling about all of this because I need this to be clear. And she's like, well, I guess if that's how you want to use our time is to talk about that. Like, I feel like you're always in a mood. And then she...
I couldn't believe he kept her there.
Yo, I couldn't either. I'm like, this girl is starting fights with you every single time you talk.
Every single time. And she's looking at her knee like, I don't even know what you're going to do. And it's just like this one long
whine.
Cat whine. And it's like, and at that point, like, it was so stark. You saw the way he interacted with Kelly, where she's like, yeah, we're cool, we're having a good time, like, yeah, I'm having fun. And then he was annoyed that she said we're having fun. And then he gets to Victoria F, and she's like, I don't know, and while she like stares at her heel, and then he's like, and then he goes, and then he's like, well, you know, they're having this argument, and it's like, it's almost like Peter has confused difficulty for caring,
right?
You know, when Kelly's just like, hey, I enjoy our time together, we're having a good time. Like, that's like a real relationship. That's how you get to know somebody.
Exactly.
When you're not talking about, well, I'm not sure how you feel about the thing, or are you on the page that I'm on the page, of you on the page. And it's like, that's not like Kelly's conversation with him. And then he's like, well, we seem like more like friends. And it's like, oh, I don't know if he knows what goes into having a nice full relationship.
Exactly. Well, it's a little different because when he was on his date with Natasha, mm-hmm. you know, he was like, it's never dull with her, she's so much fun, like, I love spending time with her. I'm like, yes, but that's because there's no chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, there's no pressure with her, because I think he knew that he wasn't going to keep her anyways.
So it just made it
and
easy.
And so it just made it easy, and it was fun. So I think that's different than the quote unquote fun Kelly was having.
So do you think he's putting pressure on the people that he could see a future with? Like, is he so pent up about it that anyone that he sees a future with, it just like, it's like he's squeezing too tight?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's it, because I can tell that he is planning on getting engaged at the end of this. Like, there
he
is
seems
no,
more invested than the women.
Yes, he is more invested. He doesn't want to come out of this just in a relationship. I think he wants sort of like the Rachel Lindsay ultimatum. Like, I'm getting engaged at the end of this, so
you're either coming with me or you're not.
Yeah, and that's the end, which I don't think is the way to attack the situation.
It doesn't seem like the healthy way. But
no.
What do you think of the other people?
I think Madison and him actually have a connection, but I also think Madison's whole view on everything is so fluffy, and you could tell Madison, hey, our date, and we're just gonna go sweep a kitchen, and she'd be like, oh my god.
I'm not a Madison fan. Here's what's going on with the Madison thing is, like, again, like the outside world crossing with the inside world. We meet Madison in episode one, where she goes to the vow renewal of Peter's parents. Okay, at that point we're like, oh, this seems like a fine date, this is episode one, who's to say it won't. Then she disappears. During the time she disappears, she somehow becomes America's sweetheart, because she's the only one we haven't heard talk. We're like, oh, she hasn't said a word. We love her now.
Yeah. You know? She stayed in the background. Derek and I talked about this. It's like, all you have to do, I think, is the strategy is to make a really big impact at the beginning. Like, she met the family,
sure,
had a great, amazing first date. And then she was like, cool, I'm going to kick back and let everyone
look like crazy
shit,
people.
And then I'll make an appearance.
But then she comes back. It's episode 7. And all of a sudden it's revealed that she's this religious person. And it's like, which there's two things to that. She's now going to get the God fans to be fans of her.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's a portion of Bachelor fans that are just big God people, which is fine. But they're going to support her no matter what.
To the end.
Because she represents them and their values. So now she's got this, like, crew backing her up from the, you know, from the Bachelor Nation. She's mm-hmm. got a whole county of Bachelor Nation backing her up. And it's like, fine, that's who you are. But let's admit, it took you until episode 7 to reveal that the Lord and Savior is your best bud, Jesus Christ.
And
like, it doesn't, it's almost unfair. If I was Peter, I'd be like, well, nice to meet you. We have differings. We have a little bit of a different, you know, thing going
opinions.
On. Yeah, like, which is fine. But like, he then, it was so amazing to watch their one-on-one, because he's like grabbing onto her waist like she's his mom that's going to like go away on vacation. He's like, and he's like all over her on the boat. They're making out like crazy. And then Kelsey in like interviews is like, yeah, she's really religious. And then it's like,
we're like, where?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You know, they're French kissing on a boat with some old dude watching
on, like, national TV.
Yeah. So And then someone might be like, well, that's not God to me. And it's like, that's okay.
Right. What,
but the point being, that's not something I want to hear about date seven.
No. However long it's been. That should have been brought up at first, especially if it's that big of a deal breaker for her.
She sits down at that dinner and it was like a reveal. And I know we haven't seen everything. We get edited versions, but sure. Like, that's the version we're getting. And she's sitting at the dinner and she's like, it was so funny. She's like, you know, and my dad, what I really respect is his friendship with the Lord. And you just see like Peter, like you what? Can see the, yeah. You just see him packing up condoms into his packet. Yeah, okay. No, those are for somebody else. Those are balloons, you know, like, and then.
Well, I'm wondering if she's going to end up sort of being, I think it showed a clip of her being like, you know, if he does sleep with these other girls, that's going to be a problem. Is this going to be like a Luke P situation?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, did they find their female Luke P? It's just interesting because like Peter had a choice at that moment. Mm-hmm. He could look at her and go, good for you. I'm going to opt out.
Yeah.
Or he could dig in. And what he did is he dug in. He's like, and you're like, Peter, this, you know, he's like, you know what? I'm falling in love with you. And it's like, what, Peter? Like, dude.
Are you falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, yeah, you better meet my friend JC.
He gets baptized at the end of the date.
Well, he almost did that. That's just how flimsy he is. He literally said, yeah, that's something I'm really upset. Like, he went into save mode instead of be yourself mode.
Yeah.
He goes, well, you know what? I look back and it really disappoints me that I'm not more involved in the church and I'm not doing more with my religion and I'm falling for you. Like, it was almost like this was like, you know, like he was, it almost felt like he was doing, you know, he was saving this situation.
He compartmentalizes a lot of things. I feel like he doesn't do, which is I think one of the reasons why he does all the things that he does.
Yeah.
You know, he's with Madison right now, so if she's into, you know, religion and God, he is
I'm
too.
Yeah.
And then if Kelly said that she's not, he's not either. And that's why he gets into these situations, because he's trying to please these people directly in front of him and not thinking about the big picture.
Peter has never mentioned religion once.
No.
All of a sudden, he's disappointed that he hasn't done more religious stuff. Madison's all of a sudden religious. And that's the other thing. It bothers me, the Madison thing, and this is hard for people to admit to. And I could understand someone being angry to hear this response, but Madison claims to have this relationship with the Lord, so she's going to, and that Peter is her match. She said that.
Mm-hmm.
Your match is the guy that was on TV fucking four times in a windmill.
Yeah.
Like you're subtly ignoring, and you're heading towards fantasy suites. It's on the Bachelor itinerary.
Literally the itinerary.
You can't go on the show knowing that's a part of the show and then go, well, and get to episode seven. Claim you have a match with him. Like, at that point, you're basically saying, well, at that point, you're doing a different version of Kelly going, well, this is me.
Yeah.
You know, that's a cockiness in itself. Well,
it sure
he's going to fall in love with me and he's not going to want to like explore these other options. And it's like, this is on the schedule.
It's like, where do you think you are? You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. So it's like, so to me, it's a little bit frustrating when everyone's mm-hmm. like, well, Madison's the only good. It's like, no. Madison held this back until the last possible moment. And now she's got the flimsy bachelor who she knows will just flip flop whenever, you
exactly.
know, the wind hits him right. And he, all of a sudden he's like, amen. It's like crazy. Imagine you're in the Bachelor Mansion. How would you stand out from all the rest and secure that coveted rose? Maybe it's a quirky and memorable introduction or crushing it at flag football. But what about a delicious smelling perfume mist that'll make you impossible to forget? Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Their fragrances are unique, complex, and turn
heads. I love the smell of Sol de Janeiro. And I'm sitting here with Shiroza 62 Perfume Mist and Shiroza 59 Perfume Mist. Both of them are equally great. Shiroza 62 Perfume Mist is an iconic, warm, and sunny fragrance that takes you to a forever kind of summer. It's beautiful. It smells great. It takes you to a place. And then there's Shiroza 68 Perfume Mist with notes of salted ocean air and luscious florals. It's all great. You know, the word delicious is correct. It makes a statement. You're going to love Sol de Janeiro. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code BETCHLER10. That's SOLDEJANEIRO.com. Promo code BETCHLER10. Soldejaneiro.com. Promo code BETCHLER10.
It is crazy, but I mean, I guess we'll see her family when they get to Hometowns next week.
Hometowns is my favorite episode. Yeah. I think this is like, this is all to get us ready for the opening episode and Hometowns are my two favorite because there's just awkwardness and weirdness. Like meeting these families who aren't sure how to dress for TV.
Also, I read this thing. Apparently, not always the houses that they use for the hometown dates are the houses that they actually lived in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
can you imagine?
They'll rent
like an Airbnb, staging house.
Mm-hmm, a staging house.
Can you
house.
Imagine being that producer walking into their their two bedroom, the house that the family grew up in, and they're like, ugh, we're not going to be able to.
This is not where
this is not going to work.
It's like an episode of Hoarders instead of The Bachelor.
Yeah, this live, laugh, love poster, not going to look good for us.
Just grab a few picture frames. We're going to take them to the Airbnb down the street.
We're going to a 4-bedroom mini mansion. We're going to make you guys look like you have money.
So Madison's going, and then, okay, so they finally give Natasha a date, which. This is crazy that she's made it this far without having any real chemistry with Peter. Like, we haven't seen anything between him and Natasha.
Natasha and Peter seem like they know each other enough to nod at one another as they pass each other in a hallway.
I mean, it was awkward.
Well, you know what it is? Every season, this happens every season, there's someone that you can tell the producers like.
Yeah.
It felt, and what they do is they're the storyline person. So they go on camera and they go, today we're going to Lima. Like they can deliver. They can deliver storyline. They can push the story forward. They can go. They know they're like, hey, bring Natasha in.
She's been a narrator throughout this season because you see a lot of these gifs and images of her everywhere, commenting on things. She always has an opinion about something without actually having
being in it.
Without being in it,
yeah.
And is always reacting to things. So I think you're right. They definitely keep her
Vinny
around
the Barber
that.
Was that a few seasons ago. Yeah. There were these guys, and it happens every
the
season.
Barber,
Vinny
I'm
the Barber.
Dead.
And they kept him around. They're like, oh, he gives the good haircuts. It's like, yeah. So there are people that are first of all, they're glue people in the house. They keep the house a little bit sane. Natasha did seem like she had relationships with a lot of the women in the house. She's also the one that can give a good line and be like, and today we're going to meet an alpaca.
Exactly.
And it's like this happens every season because there's only so many people the Bachelor or Bachelorette can connect with.
Oh, right.
There's got to be six women.
Well, and then they get to, the evening portion where she talks about the relationship she's been in. I guess she hasn't introduced a guy to her parents in 4 years.
Yeah.
And then the last relationship she was even in, they broke it off because he said she was too intense.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Pete's like, oh, really?
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to bring in the Peru Orchestra to sing you away. And then they bring it.
Yeah, what was that about? Okay, so I thought about this and I talked about it on our Instagram. He held up the rose as if he was going to give it to her. And then he didn't. Mm-hmm. He also did this later with Victoria F.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to snap it over his knee.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to go, Victoria F., you've been a pain in the ass. Boom, right over the knee.
Have a good one.
Peace.
Why would he, and maybe it's a producer thing and then they're having him, you have to pick up the rose before you send them home. But I don't remember seeing this in any other.
Yeah, it was a really big send off. for someone that they didn't really just seem to have any storyline.
No.
And like, I mean, an orchestra played.
Yes.
They literally played an orchestra and montaged the guy picking up the luggage from the hotel room.
Which apparently is some guy from Barstool?
Yeah, I guess he was wanted to have this role and they let him fly down there on his own dime to go do it. So
to take off the luggage.
To take the luggage
Imagine.
Off.
Imagine.
Listen.
Imagine.
Imagine being his kid, like, hey, can you pay for college? No, well, I didn't really save too much.
I was too busy. $1,300
went to a Peru flight.
Oh yeah, to Peru. Not even to Peru. I'm dead.
Yeah, but that guy, the luggage guy, exists every season. I can understand the joke in that, where you're like, I just want to be that luggage guy. But it was just so funny to see, like, I had heard afterwards people were like, yeah, it's a dude from Barcelona. I was like, yeah, that's funny, but like, that's an expensive gag. You know?
Yes,
like,
hopefully Barcel paid for it. I don't know.
I mean, I've spent a lot of money on costumes for gags. Like, but it was $14.95 from Halloween House.
Yeah, and then you're flying all the way down to a different country for God knows how many hours.
It was a fun time.
So Peter and Kelsey go on their one-on-one date, and the funniest part about this whole thing is that they're like, yeah, let's put the guy who, you know, can't even get into a golf cart without smashing his head on something on a four-wheeler.
On an ATV, yeah. And why is Peter dressed like he's going to Hogwarts on the ATV? Like, wouldn't you wear like
scar.
A leather jacket? Yeah, he's got the scar. Why, wouldn't you wear like a leather jacket?
You would think
he's not even like, there was one part where I zoomed in and he's got like, you know, plaid socks on and his
Keds,
and you're like, dude, this doesn't even make sense. Did you think you were going to a library today? Like, did
they
you think
just padded him up with like everything so we couldn't get hurt?
Yeah, he chose a helmet that like looked like he was the sidekick of a motorcycle, like he was in the sidecar of a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
It just the whole look was just bizarre.
Well, there was nothing really to that date except the fact that they just made out on a hill, which, make out somewhere else. Why do you have to go hiking to...
He made her run hills. And then the most amazing part was, I'd be pissed too. I would be at the bottom of the hill. I'd be like,
go on ahead.
Good luck. I'm going to go hang with the alpacas. I'm going to say that I'm off the show. Like,
right.
If you made me run the hill.
Yeah.
And then
I'm done.
I'm out of here. But then they ran the hill and they get up to the top and Peter's like, and Kelsey's like, what? Like, it's like, man, Pilates is fucking crazy.
I know. So he ends up keeping her, which I really am surprised that Kelsey has made it this far. I cannot stress that enough.
Kelsey's,
I was not expecting this.
I mean, if you think about it, Kelsey's the most likable person left. Like,
true.
She drinks, she hangs, she she's a little emotional, but at least like, and she's, you know, she's cute. Like, if you think of like the top four, like,
she's the one
redeemable.
That I like the most. I know.
And they have that date and they're sitting on the date and it's just so funny. She's like, well, my mom loves making cookies. And she makes chocolate chip. And he's like, I like chocolate chip. And she's like, we'll see if you like the chocolate chip. And then she's like, and no one speaks to my dad. It's like, what a turn.
Right, that's so true.
Yeah.
It went straight from like, oh my God, cookies.
Yeah.
To, we don't talk to my dad anymore.
Yeah. Cookie time.
That got really intense. And the fact that I guess her mom doesn't know that she's conversing.
It started as conversant. it starts as, we don't speak to dad. And then she goes, but I talk to him. And mom doesn't know. It's like, well, she does now.
So
get ready.
Hopefully she told her mom that before the show aired.
I also don't like, you know, the vagueness of it. Like, if you're going to be like, if I'm the dad at home, like, we can only assume the worst.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, if I'm the dad at home, I'm a little annoyed. Like, America, she's like, he just did some things. Like, what if he was, like, sitting at home being like, yeah, I cheated. Like,
so
like,
who fucking cares?
Tell him I cheated. I thought your stepmom is right here. We have a nice life together. Yeah. We weren't the match. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Because in my mind, I'm sitting there going, well, he beat everybody. you know, like you go to the worst place.
Give us the details or don't bring it up. Okay, going to some really awkward stuff. The 3-on-1. We don't usually have 3-on-1s. And I thought this was just like a cop out because none of the, I don't think there were two girls that hated each other enough.
Well, we had the 2-on-1 we want. We had the 2-on-1 we wanted last episode.
I know, but I feel like that was a whole thing.
That was a whole thing. I enjoyed the 2-on-1. That last episode.
It was a mini 2-on-1. They didn't even have dinner.
Yeah, they both. Well, he was like, both of these are gone. I'm just going to send one home first to give one of them satisfaction. Yeah.
Why would he do that?
That is crazy. Well, that shows you that he's a weak bachelor. If it was a strong bachelor, he would have gone on the 2-on-1 and been like, hey, both of you, it ain't going to work with both of you. You can both go.
Yeah.
So that, you know, at least if he had said both of them go, McKenna wouldn't have had her like friendship wins like speech was like an important thing. Like love wins and love will conquer all. And it's like,
you helped me find my damn voice.
Yeah. Like, time to go home. I would have been like, yeah, you know what wins? Uber. They're waiting outside.
Love ya.
We're gonna love ya. Mean it. Get out.
Okay, so they're on the 3-on-1, and Kelly. This is when Kelly starts to her spiral into "I'm better than this."
Yeah.
I shouldn't be here. These girls are kids. I mean, she won't even when he pulled. Who was a first aside? Was it Hannah? No, it was. Who did he pull aside first?
She pulled aside Hannah Ann with her book report.
Yes. Okay. So he pulls Hannah Ann aside, and Kelly was just like, if you need me, I'll be napping. See ya.
Yeah. It was kind of weird. You know when someone's like acting cocky, but you know it's a mask for them not being cocky?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was like a moment where it's like, yeah, you can just quietly sit here.
You don't have to make a whole thing out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you knew it from the way she was dressed. She's like, I'm going white pants outside. I don't give a shit.
White pants laying down on a questionable bench.
Yeah, this is all. And then he goes away with Hannah Ann in the Hannah Ann conversation. She like pulls out her Lisa Frank notebook to show. I wrote you a book report. And she's like, and then she's just like, she had hearts over the eyes.
Nothing says love like a heart over the eye to dot it. I mean
that the heart over the eye,
it ages like, her. That shows her age, like 100%.
I mean, that's one of those. It shows her age and how much time they have in the house.
Yes.
She's like gone over it 7 times. Like, hey, but she reads this whole thing of like what I love about
the 3 times you've probably spoken to him, these are the things you love about him.
I love that you have a Disney Plus subscription and I can watch all the Lizzie McGuire I want.
That's it.
I
think she's too young for Lizzie McGuire.
And it doesn't help that she looks young.
She does. She's stunning, but looks so young.
It's very young. And it's very, yeah, it's just, and like she reads that note and gets the rose and it's.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you are a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves, and it's designed to work with your body and not against it. You won't have to worry about it rolling down thanks to the flexible boning that is hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of that. And, you know, while Kelly's napping, Victoria F. immediately gets up to go cry.
Spiraling.
I mean, spiraling. And Kelly said that. She goes, well, Victoria just went over to have a full meltdown per usual.
Yeah. And I think part of Kelly's thing, it seemed like she was just at it with all the other women. Like if you're around a bunch of, like, you know, if the only ones left are the emotionally, like, unstable people who have been called out for that the whole season, you would start to go crazy yourself and be that way. You'd be like, I'm done. It's like when you have a friend that keeps coming to you with their, like, relationship issues, and they keep coming, and you've answered the same question 700 times. Like,
what do you want?
Kelly's at that point. It seems like she was just like, she's going to go off and run off because that's what she does. And Hannah's going to read her Trapper Keeper notes. And it's like,
I think I would like Kelly more if the girls weren't so, if their emotions weren't so heightened. I think I would like, I think the reason why I don't like, I don't know. I have so many things about her that I think it's too laid back to the point where it's like, well, now you're just not fun anymore.
It's fake. It's the same thing of, you know, instead of going, just sitting in the chair, she's got to lay down in the chair. Instead of saying, hey, I enjoy your company, she's got to go, this is fun. Like, you know, like, everything's a little, an inch over the line.
Exactly.
To not be in Trueville. Yeah. And where we know this is a mask for insecurity.
Well, she even said, I know you hate it when I call it fun. It's like, well, you're trying too hard at this point.
At this point, I've been on dates with girls like that where it feels like they're so insecure that they're going to play up confidence, where it's like, oh, is this going to be another one of your jokes? And it's like, no, I'm just trying to
have a conversation.
Like, I'm just joking around with you. Like, this is us. Normal. And she's like, I know you hate it when we say it's fun. And it's like, yeah, because you're a little too laid back. You're a little too you're on a TV show. You're trying to win me.
I know. And then you have the complete opposite. Victoria, you know, we talked about this earlier, but Victoria talks to Pete and, you know, calls him out for being in a quote unquote mood when she is the only one that's ever in a mood.
I can't believe it. It enraged me.
Yeah.
I was, because I, you know, being told that is the that's a version of telling a woman to relax.
Relax. Yeah.
You know, like to, but you know, anyone to relax, not male or female. Like, if someone would look at me and goes, you're being in a mood, and I'm like, no, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you about the task at hand. Well, that's moody. And it's
exactly.
Like, oh my God, I would have ended it right there. I would have been like, game over, get out of here, go stare at your knee in the car.
But he keeps her.
I
could not believe that. I mean, I am glad that he sent Kelly home, but I would have rather had Kelly stay over Victoria F, just because it doesn't make any sense. It's just like when Hannah kept Luke P over and over and over again, even though he was showing all of these signs of whatever.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, hometowns is considered, I am excited to meet all of these families.
Yeah, these families are going to be crazy, especially the preview. The preview is nuts.
I mean, it's all just like, who brought these crazies into the world? They can only be crazier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kelly meeting her family would be like, okay, we'd do Chicago. We'd see the law firm.
Uh-huh.
You know, Big Papa Bear would be like, I got a lot of money. Like, it would be that. We've seen those beats.
Sure.
We haven't seen what's coming. We haven't seen Cookie Mom with no dad. We haven't seen girl who can't make eye contact. You know,
her parents. Yeah,
hottest girl ever who can't put on a swimsuit, but then can put on a swimsuit. You know, like, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen, you know, the parents of a 22-year-old be like, and here's her playroom.
I know.
And here's her Nintendo. And it's like, we haven't seen, you know, who's even the fourth?
Kelsey, Victoria F, Hannah Ann, and Madison.
The godparents. We're going to see the godparents. Like, we're getting We're getting four distinctly different flavors, yeah. Which is very exciting.
Which is very exciting. And I loved the preview of Victoria F's family and how she's, again, crying, having a full already freak out. And she's like, you're getting ready to meet my family? Like, what? Like, how are they already arguing again? This should be a huge sign. If you're arguing this much before you're even together.
Well, I say this with relationships. You know, in the beginning, you have nothing to fight about.
No.
In the beginning with someone, you have nothing to argue about. You don't have a mortgage together. You don't have kids together. You have nothing but to get to know one another and have fun.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's, now I sound like Kelly, but that's the truth. There's nothing that's that important to be crying about. So when you're sitting there with Victoria F and she's like, and you're being like crazy before meeting my parents. And it's like, what am I being crazy about? I'm going to meet your parent. I don't understand. Also, not only is there nothing to fight about, but you're on the trip of a lifetime traveling the world. So like,
yeah.
And you've made it to the end, which means you're going to make it another couple weeks to see, you know, you're going to see more of the world together. So like, this is when you're upset. What's going to happen when you see a text pop up on my phone of a name you don't recognize?
Yeah, that's
what's going to happen when you see who I follow on Instagram. Like, Peter isn't thinking of reality. Peter's not like, what's going to happen, Peter, when you see the first text? What's going to happen when she sees who you follow? What's going to happen when she sees the amount of DM requests? What's going to happen when you guys go on a date and you come back and the heat doesn't work in the house and she has to fucking sit with a few blankets on? She goes, well, I don't really like when it's cold in here. What's gonna happen when the kids are up at night crying and one of you has to go change the baby? What's gonna happen? Like, you start going down the line and you're like, Peter,
you're not thinking about,
you've not thought about any of this long term. You know, Kelsey can't even talk about you guys without crying.
Right.
Madison is living in La La Land where you guys are gonna float on a cloud to God. Kelsey isn't talking to parents, is talking to parents. They're gonna just eat cookies and not talk about it. And you got Hannah Ann who's never even opened up an electricity bill.
Yeah.
So what reality is this?
I think you need to sit down with Peter and talk to him.
Peter should listen to everything I just said.
Yeah. I mean, this is so true because you don't think about the aftermath to all of this. Becca Tilly from, you know, a couple seasons ago, she ended up tweeting something that was like, okay, so she was like, if I'm not the girl named Sydney that was the best kisser at the end, yeah. She goes, there are going to be a lot of fights.
Well, yeah, like every time you're in an argument, they'll go, well, why don't you go kiss Sydney then?
Exactly.
Why don't you go test her soft lips?
That is a huge, huge thing.
And it's like, that's all I'd be thinking about. Like, if you're actually thinking of marriage, like, that's when we come back to Kelly. That's when I come back to Kelly and I go, yeah, this is easy. You guys are getting to know each other. And at that point, it's Peter. You know, there's a piece of this, and this is kind of the ugly truth. Is he thinking with his penis?
I mean, I'm sure.
But is he thinking through this whole thing? Like, that's the problem with these fantasy suites is, like, dude, if I was Peter, I'd be masturbating in every bathroom before every interaction just to get it out of my system. Yeah. Just to not walk. I would walk into those dates with empty guns, being
dry.
Dry as a bone, empty balls. And I'd be walking in going, and it would be the most honest conversation. I'd be like, let's just watch Netflix and not touch each other.
Are you down?
Like, yeah, you down? Like, this is how I hang. Yeah, like, because at this point, he's overlooked so many red flags.
So, I mean, it's too late.
It's too late. And it's like,
too late.
You're not even thinking of dealing with a Victoria F at a like, imagine bringing Victoria F to a wedding.
Oh God.
And her not being sure, forgetting a bracelet.
Oh yeah, and like she's crying, and then there's a whole drama, and then you guys are in a fight.
I can't go out there right now, and I'm just, and she's not even look. I would be like, look me in the eye right now, please, please God, make an eye contact with me once. Like I mean, I'm excited to meet these people, but I just don't understand Peter's thought process. I mean, the only reason I kind of understand Peter's thought process is because the future episode preview, the mom. Peter's mom is problematic, okay?
She's
Peter's mom,
too much.
Because I don't know if you talk about theories that are out there on this show.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
There's a theory. I just found out about this. I don't do spoilers. I don't like spoilers.
No, we don't like spoilers. This is not a spoiler.
This is not a spoiler.
It's a theory.
I mean, it's just being out there. Like, and I just heard about it a minute ago from Michelle Collins, who's so funny and great. But the idea that she... Well, first of all, Peter's mom... So if you see that preview of Peter's mom,
she is crying.
Bring her back to us.
Don't let her go.
Don't let her go. It's like, what person hypothetically on this show
has caused that much? Like,
could reasonably start that much emotion from the mom? Okay, so let's start it.
I feel like Madison is the only option.
Okay, let's say it's Madison.
Maybe.
That's still crazy.
Yeah, she met her once.
You met her once and you're going, bring her back to us. like you're a soothsayer in like old, you know, Italy or some shit. You're a blind woman in the street. Bring her back to us. And it's like, if it's any of the women on the show that she's talking about, the mom is a crazy person.
Yes.
And that's why Peter is the way he is. That's why Peter only responds to emotional outbursts to show that someone cares, because he has a mom like that.
Yeah.
Start at that. Let's say it's Hannah Brown that she's talking about. Okay. How many times has she met Hannah? That's even crazy.
I know. I would say if it was Hannah Brown, it's probably because, you know, she knows that he has had those feelings. He was there until, you know, almost the end.
But like, bring her back to us? Like,
yeah,
she's never shared a dinner with them.
Yeah.
So now
here we go.
This is the theory, is that there's a producer on the show that Peter has fallen for,
yeah,
made friends, or has a relationship with.
Yeah.
Okay?
They spent, what, New Year's together. She's had dinner with his family.
Is that on Instagram too?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All this is on... there was a whole post about it, how they, like, you know, take selfies together, and then they spent New Year's together. They had, like, a group picture of, like, his whole family and them at a dinner.
Okay. Well, hypothetically, now there's two hypotheticals here. He's gotten close with her, and the mom has a relationship, and is like, bring her back to us. Okay, fine.
Yes.
That's the only way the mom isn't... The mom's still insane for doing that on TV.
Insane.
But that's the only way where it's like makes a little bit of sense. It also makes sense that they're friends, because a lot of the people on the show, and Derek could speak to this way better than I could ever.
Yeah.
They do become friends with a lot of the producers, because
producers
are young. That, you know, they're traveling the world together. You even see these producers pop up on social media in the way that she has. So
yeah, they're trustworthy. They trust these producers. They
totally.
You know, they're their confidants. But at the same time, the producers are fucking playing them.
Of course,
which is
it's a fucked up thing.
Yeah.
But if you have one producer that you trust, they're your, like, view to the outside world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that relationships with producers happen in a friend way.
Yeah.
That, and listen, if I know one thing about people who like The Bachelor, I know one thing very specifically. Bachelor fans take any male-female relationship and make it romantic no matter what.
Yeah.
So
true.
So Bachelor fans, they cannot see a man and a woman in a picture and not think that they're together.
Well, Hannah Brown also commented on one of the photos of the producer and Pete together and said, I approve.
Oh, that's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
But who knows if it's like...
Bring her back to us. Like, that is an insane... If my mom ever did that on TV, I would stop her. I'd go... You have to stop this right now.
Can we cut the cameras?
Yeah, cut the cameras, please. We have to have a talk.
Yeah.
We have to talk about how you're behaving.
Exactly. That's way too much.
Like, does that mom watch that clip every week and just fucking die in a corner, like crumble up?
I would.
I would cry. If you had me on camera going, don't let her kill. Like, I'd be like, oh my God, just let me move to Peru.
Yeah, dad, I'm like, I gotta go. I'm moving back.
Yeah.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24, Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so now it is time for our Skinny Pop Moments of the Week. Before we start, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Skinny Pop Popcorn. It's gluten-free popcorn with super delicious crunchy kernels that come in flavors like butter, cheddar, and so you can snack without compromise. You can find Skinny Pop products at shop.skinnypop.com or retailers nationwide. And don't forget to sign up for the Bachelor Fantasy by Betches in partnership with Skinny Pop. You can register now at bachelorfantasy.betches.com. That is bachelorfantasy.betches.com. Okay, Jared, it's been a while since you've been on the podcast, but we have our Skinny Pop Moments of the Week. Basically, we have a sweet moment, a salty moment, a cheesy moment, and then at the end, we have our Cringe Harrison Award, which is the cringiest moment of the episode.
Okay, so you want to go first?
Sure, just yeah, so, like, I'll lead us in. So my sweet moment of the week has to be Hannah Ann and Kelsey getting along. I guess I missed the whole part where they actually became friends and weren't enemies from the champagne.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I guess I missed that whole arc, but I guess they also have no other choice because...
They're the only two. Who are you going to talk to? There's no TV, no phone.
You better fucking get along. Yeah. Exactly.
There was one scene where they came back to the house and they're talking and it's just like... she's like, what do you think is going on? You know, it's like, you know, so them getting that, it's nice.
I think that's nice. Was there a sweet moment that stuck out for you at all? I mean, you could also say Hannah Ann's love note with the dotted eyes.
Hannah Ann putting hearts over the eyes I got another one.
All right.
Hannah Ann putting hearts over the eyes is a sweet moment because it's so innocent.
Right.
It is so like it pure. Is pure. And she's like, she's sitting there. I just imagine her putting the heart there because she's taking forever on this note.
Yeah.
And it's also one of those things that like, that's not a character she's playing. She didn't want that on camera.
Uh-huh.
We all eagle-eyed that shit and we're like,
damn.
Man, that's you are rough. 22 going on 14.
Exactly. 23 and Pete.
Yeah.
that's what this whole thing is. Mm-hmm. Okay, my salty moment was definitely Kelly going home. Yeah. Kelly getting sent home after her talking that big game and, you know, saying, I'm an attorney, all these girls are kids. I mean, she was like, I want the rose. Give me the rose. Yeah. Chop, chop. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she got real cocky. Yeah.
Yeah, she got really cocky. And that ended up biting her in the ass and made her look dumb.
It made her look bad. It's a bad look on the way out. But again, that's producers probably being like, you're an attorney, right?
Yes. Yeah,
because they did. You notice when she says, I'm an attorney, it felt very cut up.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Her voiceover was not one big evil monologue. It felt like they had taken a couple of things. It felt liberties were taken.
Absolutely. But I wonder what Peter sees or what Peter's thinking watching all of this now, because he never saw that side of Kelly. You know, he only saw the... Yeah, well, this is fun. I'm chill. I'm lax.
I think he did see the too chill side. Like, here's the thing. Peter's a bad bachelor. He's a weak bachelor, but he does have an ego.
Yes.
So when you're on the show being like, yeah, we have fun, and you see other women like fucking losing their minds crying, you're like, well, I do understand where you're like, well, one person wants to be here with me and one person doesn't give a shit.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
That was a salty moment.
That was my salty moment.
Salty moment is anytime Peter has to comment on something not white. Every time Peter, we know he's part Cuban.
Yes.
He has to remind us that he's Cuban. And where they go, and him and Natasha, they're like, he's like, oh my God.
It's my favorite dessert.
That's my favorite. Grandma used to, my abuelo used to make this. And you're like, dude.
Pull back.
Yeah, come on, relax. And he's like, and then he puts on the hat. Like, Him in the hat, that looked racist. Like, it's like, dude, you can't put on that hat.
This is not Coachella. Like, you can't be just, like, wearing shit like that anywhere.
He's just dancing around in the hat, and you're like, this, nothing has looked more old, retired white guy on a Royal Caribbean cruise than this dude right now. Like, he looks like he should be in the Royal Caribbean commercial going, oh, yes. Usted. You know, like, it's just so funny.
It's so funny.
And it's so,
so
salty. That's my salty.
Okay, my cheesy moment is, honestly, Madison, at any point in time, but especially on the date, cheesy. Being hyped up. He's like, do you like fishing?
Yeah.
Do you want to do this? Oh, my God. Like, he... Everything was just so amazing, like as if she had never stepped outside and like seen anything in her entire life.
Madison's cheesy in general. That's kind of the, I mean, that's the God chick thing.
Yeah.
You know, she's young. She's, you know, she's sitting there, you know, with this, you know, the whole thing. It all goes. It all
fits together.
My cheesy moment was they showed the outside of the hotel like 1,000 times, and it looked like Dunder Mifflin Stamford.
Yo, it did though.
Like every time they came back to the house, I would just hear like, it's like, what are you?
And they're like, welcome.
Welcome. And just look at Dwight and
it
Jim.
Did.
And it's like, Kelsey.
I saw that on your story. Yeah. And that was.
But they kept showing it.
But they kept showing it. They never let that go.
Meanwhile, back of the house.
Yeah, they never let that go.
That was my.
All right. And then. Okay, so before we do our Cringe Harrison Award, let's thank again our Skinny Pop popcorn sponsors. You can find Skinny Pop products at shop.skinnypop.com or retailers nationwide. And don't forget to register now for Bachelor Fantasy by Betches in partnership with Skinny Pop at bachelorfantasy.betches.com. All right, so our Cringe Harrison moment, cringiest moment. I think we can both somewhat agree on this. Victoria F. telling Peter that he's in a mood. That was bad.
Every interaction with Victoria F. kind of makes me cringe. Just the idea that I've said this 1,000 times, she doesn't make eye contact.
Doesn't
even look him in the face. Like, she's got, I don't know if 500,000 Instagram followers is a good thing for her.
No.
I wish her the best.
This is not setting her up for success.
No, I don't think this goes to a good place. Unless this whole thing was an act, like her whole, like, you know, I'm the victim type of thing. But it doesn't, unless they end up to, I don't know.
The amount of freakouts doesn't, I feel like she is like this.
Yeah, it doesn't.
One, no, I could forgive this. Two, maybe, but it's every single time.
My cringe Harrison is any preview of Peter's mom crying. Peter's mom crying makes me.
That's a really good one.
It hurts me inside. Bring her back to us.
Like she knows this is a reality. Like, it's a TV show.
You're on TV. Mom, keep it together. And it's like every preview, every time they show it, I'm just imagining Peter sitting there being like, this is why he is the way he is.
Yeah.
Like, to a certain extent, like.
Well, for sure.
He only responds to someone who's emotionally as unstable as the mom.
Like, yes, exactly. That's so true. I didn't even put that together. That is very true. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you follow us at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. You guys can catch Jared Fried at Jared Fried on Instagram and Twitter. You all can also listen to him at the J Train podcast.
Yeah.
And the U Up podcast. I have to come back on the J Train.
Please,
podcast.
Please. I would love that.
Like that.
I need to have you back on. We got to solve the world's problems.
We got
to
solve the world's problems.
That's right.
By the most unqualified problem solver.
Listen, I'm talking about my out of my ass for 6 years now.
But here we are.
And even longer than that. I'm also in Nashville this weekend.
Yes.
Anyone in Nashville want to come to a show? I'll be at Zany's. And then the weekend after that, I'm in San Diego. So
I've seen Jared live.
Thank you.
And it's great. It's super fun. We did a U Up tour. We did every, how many, 22 cities?
22 cities. We traveled this great country of ours.
That was wild.
Yeah, that was wild.
But those, it was, were so fun.
Such a blast. This will be stand-up, so come out. I do some Bachelor stuff on stage. So
obviously. All right, yes, make sure you follow Jared and follow us on Instagram. And make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. We will pick the best review at the on the next episode, and you guys will win a mug. So we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much, Jared, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is a blast.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
The Bachelor Podcast is hosted by Kay Brown
and Derek Pape. Our editor is Mike Coscarelli.
Our podcast managers are Sean Kilby and Mike Coscarelli. Social media by Kay Brown.
Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at The Bachelor on Instagram and at BachelorPod on Twitter.
Betches.